Good morning, everybody. To introduce, starting next to me, Eric Zipkin. He has 9,000 hours in the air. The Placid Lassie. This is his airplane, and he was director of operations for the anniversary flights over Normandy in June. Next to him, Doug Rosendahl, 10,000 hours of pilot hours, 175 different aircraft. He was the lead pilot on That's All Brother. And next to him, Jay Goldenbaum, a retired Air Force colonel, 161 missions in Vietnam as a fighter pilot, highly decorated, including the Distinguished Flying Cross. He and his team flew the Flabob Express airplane at the anniversary. And to his left, the gentleman at your far right, his name is Ed Shames. He's a retired Army colonel, and he jumped into Normandy in 1944. So, Ed, you are the big wheel. I mean, you're it. Big deal and big wheel, both. Ed, that jump, what was the preparation to jump, and did you jump at night or in the day?
We jumped at night. Night jump. I was in charge of the sand tables to prepare for the jump for the whole battalion.
What were the sand tables?
Sand tables or replica of what we see when we on the airplane looking down. We're supposed to have a replica of the ground so we know where we were and know where we're supposed to go, know who we're supposed to be with and which way to go. But it so happens that the good old Air Force decided that they were scattered us all over the place, and there was only one plane out of 49 that hit the drop zone. And I landed in Carentan. Of course, had I known where I was then, I wouldn't be here today because I would have dropped dead the moment I found out that I was in Carentan. Because I put on the sand tables, avoided all costs, because they had two divisions of Germans in town. When I found out about it, I told the men that was with me that I picked up on the way to our mission. I said, let's get the hell out of here right now. Of course, I brought 18 men to our mission at the bridges that we were supposed to defend.
What was your rank then?
I was a staff sergeant at that moment.
And what was your unit?
When I got back to camp, bridges, our mission, I was made a second lieutenant on the spot. 4 o'clock in the morning at 6 a.m. At 4 o'clock in the morning.
So you jumped as a sergeant and landed as a lieutenant.
Yeah.
What happened then? How'd you avoid the two battalions of Germans in town?
Well, by sheer luck and guts, we were determined to hold on to what we were supposed to. Out of the whole battalion, there was only 119 of us there. That was the whole battalion. But we held on, and we waited for, in fact, nobody knew we were there for 3 days. We were the lost battalion. Finally, they relieved us. Beach forces relieved us, and then we went into a holding area and waited for further order.
What does the term Band of Brothers mean to you?
Band of Brothers? It's a nice name. it's something that's Dr. Ambrose came up with, Band of Brothers. He from Greek mythology. No big deal.
So when you from those days forward, how long were you in Europe on the ground?
From those days, we stayed in Normandy until July the 15th. Then we went back to England, at which time I was duly commissioned a second lieutenant.
Ed, from all of us, thank you for the service you provided and helped protect our freedom.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Ed, Eric, here you were director of operations. How many airplanes were there? Describe what you did with all these airplanes. How many were there, and what were you doing? What was your mission?
Our mission ultimately was to bring a full squadron of C-47s to Normandy to honor the 75th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. We succeeded in doing that, and then a little bit, we had 15 aircraft that left North America with us, and all 15 aircraft arrived in Europe and were able to participate. We joined another 8 European-based aircraft, so when we flew across the channel on June the 5th, we had 23 DC-3 C-47s that went across the Atlantic. That went across the English Channel.
So now, where was this airplane from here in the States? Where was it based?
The airplane, Placid Lassie, lives in Florida. And so she, like many, most of the other airplanes, all gathered in the New York City area, in Connecticut, where I live. We spent about a week worth of training and preparation, including trying out her survival gear and a bunch of formation training and really learning how to work together.
Work together?
Work together as a group. And then we departed on May 19th to go across the Atlantic.
Doug, where was your airplane?
Our airplane's based in San Marcos, Texas, at the Centex wing of the Commemorative Air Force.
And what was the preparation for you getting ready?
Well, we did a tour across the southeast United States to several locations, Andrews Air Force Base, Atlanta, Birmingham, and just kind of to build excitement. Ended up in Oxford to join up with the D-Day squadron. That's where I arrived. And then we did some pretty serious training at Oxford, you know, to get everybody prepped up for the crossing and so forth. And then we pressed off from Oxford as part of the group.
Right. Hand that back to John, if you would. And John, where is your airplane based? FLABOB.
Our airplane is based at FLABOB Airport in Riverside, California.
Right. How much, to all three of you, how much preparation, how much in advance did it take to make sure these airplanes were in good enough shape to get over there and get the job done? How long did it take, and what you have to do that?
I'll speak for ours and pass it on, but we started preparing for this. I met Eric at Oshkosh, because I come every year, and so does he, and he told me about this absolutely wonderful opportunity to go and do the reenactment for the 75th anniversary. We immediately said we're going. Okay. The short answer for you, David, on what it took is we started working for 2 years, put on 2 new engines, a couple of them actually worked, put on a couple of more, rebuilt the airplane, completely gutted it and put in new avionics. So there was a significant amount of preparation that we did before we'd fly.
Well, Doug, what about your airplane? We'll all have to share that, Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, you're good. Yeah. You're good, Doug.
So That's All Brother had just come out of a major restoration. It was discovered over here in the boneyard at Basler. And when we learned the history of the airplane, and the CAF bought that airplane and put it through basically a zero-time restoration that lasted about 3 years. First flight was in January 31st of 2018, I believe. And so we'd been flying for a year, but it was all the airplanes. I mean, I watched them all across the country, and everybody put a lot of energy into their airplanes in anticipation of this historic event.
Yeah. Eric, what about yours?
Well, that I echo every other team. You know, it was time, and most importantly, was really getting the opportunity to fly the airplanes. You know, old airplanes don't like to sit, so when you get out and you go fly them, you discover where you've got problems, and you get them up to speed. And so it was really a two-plus-year process.
Given the complexity of all that, all three of you, where'd the funding come from?
The funding ultimately was each individual team funded their crossing of the Atlantic. So, you know, there were a number. Each airplane was a little bit different. In our case, it was several benefactors that saw the value of our mission and contributed donations to make that happen. Some other aircraft, it was Kickstarter campaigns and selling T-shirts. So it was really a privately funded individually
community,
funded
community. Yeah,
exactly, a community event.
Ed, you raised your hand.
I'd like to say something about the fact that we were scattered all over the place, as much as 50 miles away from our drop zone where we were supposed to be, some of us. But it wasn't a bad thing after all, because the Germans first put out a bulletin that as many as 200,000 paratroopers has descended on Normandy. Actually, it was 30,000. And we scared the hell out of them. When they saw us, they ran, and they ran fast. So, that's it.
Hey, hand the mic back to John, if you would. Hey, John, and all three of you, describe the whole trip across the pond. How did you get from Connecticut with all that preparation? How many airplanes were there, and what was the route to get you all to England?
Well, I'm going to give it back to Eric for that, but I do want to say, here's a quick plug. We would have never made it without Eric Zipkin sitting over here to my right. I can't say enough about Eric. Eric, you know, again, I have a military background, and I know a true leader when I see one. And there was no doubt that Eric picked up the leadership role immediately, and in some pretty tough times, carried the ball every time, every way. A hard-working guy, a smart guy. And I'm going to let Eric tell the story, because actually I crossed the pond in the back of a 747 drinking a martini. So, you know, I told our crew, been there, done that. I'm not putting on an exposure suit. I've done that before. So I got to engage in all European flying. It was great. But a pitch for Eric. You cannot say enough, all of us that flew, about who he is and what he did for all of us. Thank you, Eric.